I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The details behind the Diddy indictment, Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hardman making the ghost action. They're going to run a float pass. Nissan! Touchdown! Kansas City! Patrick Mahomes, a 17th career postseason touchdown pass. The most in NFL history in a player's first four seasons, finding Kelce wide open. And it's human pyrotechnics dressed in red, white, and gold.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chiefs go to that rocking L. Now they go to a flip bone set. First down play. Mahomes keeps it on an RPO at the 5. Gets a lead block. He goes into the end zone near side. Touchdown, Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes, a 16-yard run. His second rushing touchdown of the game.
And there's those highlights again. That's from the 2020 AFC Championship game and the 2024 AFC Championship game. If you're not there yet, you should be, because it's Red Friday. It's Halloween. Happy Halloween to all of you listening to 96.5 The Fan. Welcome to Fesco, Dusty, and Mac Morey's little morning session on a spooky day.
Yeah, so. Man, it's very scary out there this morning, isn't
it? Yeah, scary cold, that's for sure.
Oh, boy, yeah, it is a little chilly out there. Saw my breath this morning in a big way for the first time probably this fall season. I'm ready for winter to be over. I'm ready for spring and summer to come back. I don't like these last couple of days, but it is Halloween, man. We're going to have a lot of fun, and tomorrow begins the beginning of November. The end of the year is officially here. Eating season is upon us. You're dressed like a Surfside iced tea, and we're all ready to have a great day,
Surfside,
right?
Lemonade.
Oh, I like it. Yeah. There it is.
Strawberry and vodka, and
yeah,
I have the government health codes on the back.
Oh, yes, you do. Yes, nice. Yes. Surfside is made with vodka, iced tea, and or lemonade, natural and artificial sweeteners. 4.5% alcohol by volume. There you go.
Smash.
Way to go. I like that.
And then on the other side, where my crotch is, it says zero bubbles, zero troubles.
That's right. You've got the government warning. Winners. You should have a government warning on you at all times, let alone just for today.
Probably fair. That's probably.
It was just too easy, Dusty. Yeah. I mean, if I didn't hit that one out of the ballpark.
Lock them up. Yeah. Saturday and Sunday, I am incarcerated within my house.
That's
and then
right.
Monday through Friday, they let me go out 4 hours.
Yes. Go look at him in his window tonight.
Yeah. Oh, well, we have that one guy.
Yeah, that is true. You do have that guy.
Dusty's head.
Yeah, well, you show up and see what happens, you know. Hey, I got a dog. Yeah. Are you giving out candy tonight?
Yeah,
are you?
I actually think I'm going to help my buddy and his friends out tonight.
Okay, cool. That's the way to do it, yeah.
Yeah, they go to his in-law's house in Lee Summit, and they go around that neighborhood. Starts at 5:30. Didn't know it was a huge deal. Everybody brings food.
Oh.
Get this. One of the people that show up, it's 50 Cent Corn Dog Day at Sonic.
Wow.
They buy 75 corn dogs and give them out to kids.
Oh, wow. They give them out to the kids.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Okay,
that's cool.
Kind of a cool little thing. So you could get a corn dog while you trick or treat. So
I like that.
When you see me in this random neighborhood in a Surfside costume eating a corn dog, don't call the cops.
And then
he
has another corn dog and another corn dog and another corn dog.
Did you already come by?
Is that a corn dog in your pocket, or are you just happy to be here?
I was struggling. Strawberry lemonade. Now I'm peach tea.
Yeah, totally different corn dog guy. That's
shut up,
coming
Mary. Give me a corn dog.
There's a food thing on X, formerly Twitter. Like, it's just like weird foods I send you guys sometimes.
Yeah.
And they were doing like Halloween things yesterday, and I can't remember what the name of the thread is. It's like bizarre foods or something like that. And they were doing like weird Halloween things, and one of them was a bucket of bags of Sprite.
What?
Ziploc bags full of Sprite.
Oh, wow.
Every once in a while, we had people that would give out cans of soda.
Yeah, now, but not a Ziploc bag full of fans. Yeah,
kids in college, you're going to slap the wine bag. You might as well learn and do the Sprite.
And let me tell you this. I mean, I'm sure there's a news story that's out there today. Like, all the local news are going to do this.
Check the candy.
Check the candy, right? They're lacing it with marijuana. I promise you, parents are not lacing the candy with weed. Well, maybe in Kansas, but you know, maybe today we'll know about the stadium. Here's the thing. Do not think that people are lacing the candy with weed. Do people know how much that costs to do? The cost effectiveness of lacing candy with weed is not something parents are sitting around doing, I don't think.
And I can promise you those gummies that they have are in the cupboard way up high.
That's right.
Not near the candy bowl.
Yes. There was an episode of Everybody Loves Raymond years ago where it got down to the brass tacks and the father was kind of staying at the house while they took the kids trick-or-treat. And he started giving out, you know, prophylactics at them. And the whole neighborhood got mad because he was passing them, and they looked like little gold chocolates. He didn't know, allegedly, right? And started passing them. Whole neighborhood lost their mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so be careful of that as well tonight if you're walking around. Somebody's passing out, you know, condoms.
Oh. Your parents are upset that you're trick-or-treating. Here, give this to them.
Yeah.
Tyreek.
That's like horseradish.
Yeah. Oh, boy. We didn't get to it fully yesterday to describe certain Chiefs players as candy bars. We got to Travis Kelce, who is a Snickers.
That's
because
right.
Every once in a while, he loses his mind on the sideline, and you're not yourself when you are hungry.
That's right.
But we'll get into that. We'll figure out who the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup is. I think it's obvious.
It's Patrick Mahomes. It's so the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup, right?
Yeah. So, like,
it's the greatest candy out there.
You know, unanimously liked. It's normally in the top three of every category. There's always that one clune that doesn't like it
right.
Because it's like... Like, Dan Orlovsky doesn't like Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, but he ran out of the end zone.
Yeah. Dan Orlovsky doesn't like much, though, when it comes to food. He's got
like
bad habits.
Bit. Yeah. Somebody says, no doubt. And if people were giving out drugs on Halloween as Halloween candies, I would not have stopped at 11.
Yeah, right.
Hey, Daryl.
What do you got there?
Yeah.
Razor blades
and apples is another
one. Yeah, that's another good one.
See,
yes.
I found out the older I got in life that the whole, like, pour your candy out and separate it and make sure which ones, that was just mom and dad trying to score a little bit of candy.
No kidding.
Well, I didn't know that when I was 9. I'm like, mom and dad know it all. Yeah, you can have this Snickers, this Milky Way. Wait a second. How come all I have left is the... That's because they don't like Skittles.
Right.
And now, you throw anything gummy-wise in my bag, I mean, like... Lifesaver gummies.
Oh, yeah. Lifesaver gummies were great,
over,
man.
Dude.
If you could get them on your tongue, you know, those were awesome.
Do that on a Tuesday. You might extend into overtime.
I kind of liked the assessment of my candy after kind of.
Did you sit down and sort?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm sure
absolutely.
You did.
Kind of sorted.
Yeah.
All of my friends did.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
I had all the Snickers. This is just OCD 101, but I had all the Reese's, all the Snickers, all the, you know, Milky Ways, all the Three Musketeers, all the Skittles, all the Starbursts. The Starbursts were sectioned off in colors.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Dude, it started when I was like 7, dude.
That is crazy, man.
I was eating it too quickly to do that.
Yeah, one piece a night is all you're going to get. Okay, that's all we're going to have. And then by the November 15th, we have no candy left. Like, where the hell did it go? We only got a box of Nerds and some Smarties left over here. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, if you're still passing out the orange and black taffy, come on.
What about a popcorn ball, too? That's another bad
one.
Aren't good.
Unless you make it yourself. I respect the going a little bit further on.
But I'm not going to eat that if you make it yourself. Just so you know, I'm being very...
That's fine. Somebody in your house will.
I'm sure somebody will. But like for me, like you make something, I'm kind of out on that one. You know,
candy
that's just
corn,
where I am.
Y'all?
You know, candy corn is not that great. But if it's there, I'll grab a handful. Like, who doesn't, right? It's there.
I like the pumpkin version.
The pumpkin versions are pretty good.
It just, for some reason, tastes different.
I don't know if I've had that.
Just a little pumpkin. Pumpkin candy corn.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Used to bite the stems off.
Bite the stems off.
It's
I used to like the bunny Reese's.
I used to
eat the candy corns by color, you know, the white, the yellow, then the orange, you know, you kind of see if you could get it all in one bite, you know, get each color separate like that.
I once had a girl I called candy corn. It didn't last very long. Happy Halloween to all of you out there. Be safe tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Gonna actually have like a good Halloween. Gonna be chilly, but it's not gonna be wet.
No, not
rain.
Wet.
Not gonna be windy. What do? Start at like 6:45?
I'm out of that game, man. I don't know what's going on. I know there's parties. That's all I know, right?
Well, you want to, if you got littler kids, don't you start when it's a little lighter?
You
right?
want to start now if you got the little kids getting to bed. Yeah, I mean, you do. You want to start when it's a little bit lighter. That's why we've waited till this time of the year to turn the clocks back, you know, so everybody can get out and do their Halloween thing and have some more daylight, I guess. Mm-hmm. But if you get your kids out there early and, you know, 5:30, 6 o'clock, something like that, get them going, get them moving, and then, you know, you can get done by 7:30 or 8 o'clock. That's all they need is a couple hours out there, if that. I mean, if you got little kids, they go to 5 or 6 houses and then they collapse on the ground because they're tired. That's a win, right? You know.
Speaking of Chiefs players, that would be a candy bar. Butterfinger, Kadarius Toney.
Yeah.
Now rap star.
I saw that yesterday.
Yeah,
I did not listen to anything yesterday, but he's dropping an album today, I think.
Yeah, rap Joka.
Yeah, rap superstar Kadarius Toney, known by his stage name as Young Joka, announces
his
new album.
Hang, stop. Did you just use a term called rap superstar?
I didn't use it.
But you said that, right? Mm-hmm. Rap superstar. Like, he's not had one thing out yet, and he's not a superstar on any metric.
Well, the album's called Warrior for Life, L-Y-F-E. And he announced that the new album is dropping today. We will be listening is the end of the tweet. It says, Free Tana is song number one. Atlanta is number two.
Oh, yeah.
Number three is Live Life. Number four is Down Bad. Number five is Why Silent with a Y and then the word silent. Number six is Mid. Number seven is Bands. Number eight is Fish Tank. Number nine is Toes. Ooh. I would assume that's about his time in Kansas City.
Yep.
And then number 10 is Thursday.
Thursday.
That's it.
Okay, that's his favorite day of the week, I
Young
guess.
Young Joka.
10 songs, 28 minutes.
Oh, wow, let's really? Go. That's 2.8 minutes a song. That's really good. That's a Magic Johnson-style tweet right there.
From dropping footballs to dropping bars.
Oh, man.
Kadarius Toney.
What do you think he's
going
to be better at?
Rapping.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, probably. And that's a stretch because it's not going to be very good.
Mac, do me a favor because I know you can do this really quick. What are the Ravens' odds now to win the AFC North?
All of it, yeah.
It
was, what, -105?
-105 before last night.
I saw -115 last night is what they were talking about on the broadcast a little bit. So somewhere in that range,
because Pittsburgh plays the Colts this week, and we would probably assume.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Boom.
Or this is one where the Colts, like, go back to being the Indianapolis Colts, right? The Pittsburgh Steelers find a way to win. In these games when nobody expects you to win,
right?
Kind of usually win those games.
-145.
My God. Holy cow. After last night's performance, and you've been on this, and I'm going to continue to say Mac's been on this since day one because he has been. Like, they're 0-7, and he's like, oh, they're going to win the division, right? Okay, fine. But you know what it is? It really is, and I wish I would have kind of thought about this a little bit sooner than today. And actually, I thought about it yesterday. We're watching the 2015 Chiefs right now in Baltimore. When they started 1-5 and then won 10 straight and ended up getting into the postseason and then winning their first playoff game in 20-some years, beating the Houston Texans that year 30-0. And honestly, I think the Baltimore Ravens are probably a better team than that 2015 Chiefs team was, right? You got Lamar Jackson versus Alex Smith, you know, on the team. Just the quarterback alone, obviously Lamar is one of the greatest, you know, that we've seen in this generation. Alex is good, but he's not Lamar Jackson. Lamar was brilliant last night. You get a healthy Lamar Jackson back and anything can happen. Now, they are playing must-win game after must-win game after must-win game after must-win game. Great leader in John Harbaugh. He can get them through that. Good quarterback, obviously, in Lamar. He can get them through that. But they've already played two must-win games this week. They played a must-win game on Sunday. They played a must-win game on Thursday. That's two must-win games that they've had. Everything else now is a must-win game if they want to make the playoffs. That's hard to keep up that level of, you know, drive for the entire season where you have to win every game or your season's over. It really is remarkable that the Chiefs did that. And if the Royals had not won the World Series that year and, you know, been playing deep into, you know, November, and I think actually Sunday is the anniversary of the Royals winning that, or maybe it's tomorrow. I can't remember if it's the first or second. We would have been talking more about the Chiefs, but the Royals won that world championship.
It's the first.
And is it the first?
Because I remember Halloween and there's significance there somehow.
Yeah, there's somehow, some way, but I can't remember what it is. But, you know, if you're the if the Royals didn't win the World Series that year and carry us all the way to Christmas time, basically, we would have been talking more and more about that Chiefs starting 1-5 and then reeling off 11 straight to get it, you know, the 10 to get in the playoffs and then that first playoff win. Like, that's one of those moments in this era of Chiefs football that does not get talked about at all because of that 1-5 start. Royals won the World Series. We forgot about the Chiefs, and all of a sudden, holy cow, they've won 10 in a row. They're going to the playoffs, you know? So Can Baltimore do it? Yeah, the 2015 Chiefs did it, but it's going to be tough for Baltimore to do it. But there's still a possibility that they can get out there and make a run at this thing.
This was the head coach about his quarterback returning.
So it's been a long journey, man. It's been a hard road, you know. Not just the 30 days, but even before that, you know. And I'm proud of him. I'm proud of the way he came out and played, you know. And proud of the way Tyler played last week. Both those two guys played well. T. Martin deserves a lot of credit. You know, he did a great job with those guys and Monk and the offensive coaches. I thought the game plan, I thought what we've done with the offense the last 2 weeks has been really, really, really good, really, really excellent. So we got to keep building off that.
So that's John Harbaugh on the return of Lamar Jackson. This is Baltimore's next five games: at Minnesota, at Cleveland, Jets at home, Bengals at home, Steelers at home.
Yeah.
And then maybe that December 14th game when they go to Cincinnati is the return of Joseph Burrow.
Yeah, could be. And at that point in time, is anybody going to care for Cincinnati because another player just has to be traded?
And I think it's Jake Browning this week and Joe Flacco won't be playing. So that's a problem. Something that we want to get to on the other side, Keon Coleman, thank you so much for making us look like geniuses once again. Plus, it's different, but it's the same. We'll explain. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You ready? 3, 2, 1, go! Welcome to the Red King.
A minute 35 to go in the game. Chiefs lead 32-29. Long count. Chiefs are going to throw it. They throw it in the left. Flat cut! It's Samaje Perine at the 30. First down! And up the left sideline! I love you, Samaje Perine! I remember when Brett Veach told me they picked him up, it's a gain of 18 yards. I poured water on my head. A great pickup by Brett Veach to get Samaje Perine. And the Kansas City Chiefs are going to pull this off. Perine comes up big on a 17-yard completion.
Find you somebody in life that gets you like Samaje Perine gets Mitch Holthus.
Man.
Wet. I had to pour water on my head.
I mean, my goodness, that was some fire right there, awesome. By Mitch, man. If that doesn't get you going on an All Hallows Eve, I don't know what does.
We'll have to play that to cue him up when he comes on the show a little bit later on, about an hour from now.
That's right.
The voice of them Chiefs.
I hope he comes in studio this morning dressed in a costume.
Me too.
Right?
What would be a good Mitch costume?
I would imagine Mitch. He's going as himself today.
He likes Step Brothers.
Yeah?
Could do something there. Yeah.
Is he in studio today?
I don't know. We don't know. He just shows up. Yeah, that's great.
I hope he shows up as Batman.
Hi, I am Batman.
He just has the different voice. Fellas. Like, oh.
Stay focused, Dusty.
I still know it's you. I can tell. It's not me. I'm not wearing hockey pads. Why is the voice like so brutal? Christian Bale, still love him, but never understood that. You've got fight in you. I like that. You're going to love me. Like, whoa, dude.
Why are you doing a Maloney right there?
Well, that's what it is if you watch, yeah. So I feel like this is, how do I describe this? This is a different game, but it's the same. Does that make sense? No. It's still the Bills and the Chiefs. It's middle of the season. It's the rivalry. It's Allen. It's Mahomes. It's McDermott. It's Andy. It's, you
know. Vance. It's Romo.
All of it is still there, but it's got a different feel to it. And there's two different feels to this game that one will describe at 7 and one we're going to describe now. Because normally, let's be honest, this game is between two teams that are going to put themselves in position to just kind of carry the one seed until the end of the season, where whoever wins this game normally is like, well, there's the one seed. The AFC Championship goes through Arrowhead. Or now the Chiefs are going to have to go to Orchard Park and win a game and avoid snowballs. Mm-hmm. We've seen all that before. And you kind of feel a little bit more nervous about this game because you're like, the fate of our season technically is in the balance of this game, because if we can take Patrick Mahomes once again and have it be the Arrowhead Invitational, then we like our chances to be going to the game in February, right? That's all there. That ain't the case this year.
No, it's not.
Right? You're still two teams ahead of you in your division. Buffalo has lost to New England. They are not leading their division. And this is more so a game to kind of just make sure you have control of your playoff spot, not necessarily the one seed. Now, the Chiefs could hit an amazing three-leg parlay and beat Buffalo, beat Denver, and beat the Colts and really set themselves up.
Sure.
But where I think that Colts game will be Saturday in November at noon is where I think this game normally is. Like, I think that game at Arrowhead at noon against the Colts is going to be dynamite. And I'm sure you guys are going. I'm sure you're going to have a blast. I'm sure you're going to, you know, love it. But that's normally where this Buffalo game is. But Buffalo does not lead their division. The Chiefs do not lead their division. The Chiefs are 5-3. Buffalo is 5-2. Both of these teams are trying to stay steady in their own divisions and kind of gain ground that way, but also kind of solidify themselves in that playoff picture where, yeah, the Chiefs are 6-3. They don't lead their division, but by God, I don't want that team coming to my town when it's playoff time. Like right now, the Chiefs would go to New England. Mm-hmm. We like that chance.
Yeah,
right?
I love that chance.
I would take the Chiefs over New England. I'd take the Chiefs over anybody in this playoff.
Yeah, there's nobody right now that I would say scares me in the playoffs, right, whether it's on the road or at home for Kansas City.
And I think that's what makes this game a little bit different. Like, it is not the end of the world, obviously, any year if you lose this game. There's nothing pivotal on this game other than maybe a glorified one seed or a lock into the playoffs. You could still lose this game and still take care of business elsewhere, and hell, you could still win your division at that. But I think that there's more pressure on both these teams in a very, very different way, as in, hey, go prove that you're still that team. Because if Buffalo loses, I can see it. The window is closing. McDermott's hot seat is heating up. And is Josh Allen really that guy? If the Chiefs lose, see, the Chiefs finally played a good team. They got beat. They went on the road. Yeah, they got to play three games in a row at Arrowhead. They played a beat-up Detroit team. They beat a terrible Las Vegas team. They beat a beat-up Washington team. Now they played a real team. That's the Chiefs. Here we are. Vice versa. Bills lose, or Bills win. By God, they did it again. Typical Bills win in the regular season for the Chiefs. Now they really have solidified themselves with a legit win against a good team. Let's see if their season continues to roll. Chiefs win. It's... look, guys, there they are. They're here. They're telling you, we're coming. We're coming back, and we're going to go to the Super Bowl. Just wait. So this game, to me, is the same game, but yet the narrative is different.
Yeah, it is. But it's also the first time that this game in the regular season has actually mattered. I mean, the other ones really deep down haven't mattered. It mattered for whether you're going to be the one seed and host a playoff game. That's it. This game matters for whether or not you may be in the playoffs. And I'm talking about the Buffalo Bills from this standpoint, right? I think this is a major game for Buffalo. It is a much bigger game, in my opinion, for the Buffalo Bills than it is for the Kansas City Chiefs at this point in time. Because if Buffalo loses this game, you are right, it is going to open Pandora's box, and everybody's going to be talking about the coach being on the hot seat and this being the final season, and can he get this team, you know, over the hump? And that's where I think for Buffalo, I saw Dan Orlovsky call it a must-win game for Buffalo yesterday. I use that term very loosely with must-win, because you're not canceling the season, but in order to get where you want to go, I think it is imperative for Buffalo to go out there and win this game. I think it's a very big perception game for Buffalo as well to go out there, because you can say the same thing about the Bills that we've been saying about the Chiefs. Oh, they beat some bad teams, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. You can create any narrative that you want when it comes to a football game and a football matchup. I think for Buffalo right now, I think there's a lot of people, you know, nationally on the fence kind of with Buffalo, wondering, has the end become closer than people want to give it credit for, especially losing Ed Oliver along your defensive line? Looking at the weapons that they have on offense, they're few and far between at this point. You know, you've got James Cook, you've got Josh Allen. You're looking at Josh Allen to carry
Shakir
this team.
Shakir is somebody that should be on the
radar.
Yeah,
probably as well. Yeah.
He's his guy.
Yeah.
And Dalton Kincaid.
And Kincaid's had a really nice little bit of a run recently. We were talking about him yesterday. You start to look at his production over the last couple of games. He's been really good.
Yeah, not to tell you, Max said something yesterday, like he's got, what, all of his plays are basically 22-yard chunk plays?
A third of his catches, 7 catches, second most in the league amongst tight ends, are over 20 yards. They're explosive plays.
So they are explosive plays, so they got to find a way to, you know, to cover him,
Nick,
right?
Blood in the bud.
Yeah, yeah. How many plays, though, is Dalton Kincaid really going to get you in a game, right? And so, like, if you're looking about taking out weapons, if Dalton Kincaid beats me, I'm not going to lose my mind, right?
Nope.
Somebody is going to get yards. It's the NFL, right? You can hold down James Cook. You can keep Josh Allen at bay from utilizing his legs. If Dalton Kincaid ends up being the difference in this game and they lose because Dalton Kincaid did something and nobody else did, then you put your hands up and you go, fine, you beat us, you tip your cap on that.
Was it him last year that dropped the ball in the playoffs?
I believe it was
Dalton. Or was it Dawson Knox?
I think it was Kincaid.
I get him confused.
Yeah.
I think it was Kincaid.
Okay, yeah, because, I mean, it wasn't the best throw, but it hit him in the hands.
Hit him in the hands. Should have had it, yeah. Absolutely should have had it, yeah.
Yeah, getting hit while thrown, 10 yards behind the line of scrimmage, long throw. That's a pretty good throw for context.
He should have caught that.
He should have caught that.
He
pass.
Absolutely. Kelsey makes that play. If you're going to be considered a great. No, but seriously, like, if you're going to be considered a great, those are the plays that you have to make.
But that, again, goes back to how these games always are. It's that minute of a play.
Yeah.
that decides the game.
It
the
is.
Fourth it's and all, one run.
I know. You know. It's crazy. They're always razor-thin margins in this one. And, you know, I was kind of looking yesterday at some of the stuff. And coming off a bye, Buffalo's been pretty damn good, guys, over the last, you know, 7-8 years or whatever it's been since 2017. They haven't lost a game coming off a bye. It's very Andy Reid-like when you look at what Buffalo has done.
And they smashed Carolina off, last week?
They destroyed Carolina, right?
Without Josh Allen.
Right, yeah.
Well, Josh Allen played.
Yeah, he played. But he wasn't Josh Allen. He had like 160
yards.
No, they
ran the ball.
Yeah, and he had two rushing touchdowns, I believe.
Right.
And James Cook did the rest. But yeah,
so
as you go.
I mean, week seven, they had that bye. They came off the bye, and they're 8-0 off a bye. They play really good off a bye. James Cook, after a bye week, gets about 7 yards per carry. Somehow they find it during
fresh
that
legs,
bye week,
baby.
Right?
Yeah.
And then they get back out there, and you know, here they sit at 5-2 coming off that bye, and maybe they're starting to find it a little bit on offense. Again, this is propaganda that their team puts out, and games aren't played on paper. But I just thought it was very interesting that we always talk about Andy Reid coming off a bye week and how good he is. When you look at what, you know, McDermott did, a direct disciple of Andy Reid, if you will, he's perfect coming off the bye week. So they had that great win coming off that bye week, you know, against Carolina.
And after dropping the two previous games.
After dropping the two previous games and then having the bye and then bouncing back. And so they're really, really, really good after that bye week. And does it carry over into this week? I don't know what the answer to that question is, but the Chiefs can have an opportunity to stop that, not let it carry over. And so I think it starts on defense as well. It's got to be a big day for Chris Jones and Mike Pinnell. You got your buddy back, man. No excuses now. Get out there and play. And, you know, we won't hear from Trent McDuffie because he's going to shut down that side of the field.
Yep.
And so, you know, I just think it's going to be on the defense this week. The offense is going to put up points. It's going to be about the defense shutting down, you know, Josh Allen and containing him and James Cook all weekend long. That's what it's got to be about.
They got to put up points early, though. I will say
the Chiefs or Buffalo.
Chiefs. Yeah, I do agree with you. I'm confident the offense will get going at some point, but it can't be like last week where it took a quarter and you have a turnover. And
yeah, because they will convert on fourth down.
Oh, absolutely. That fourth and one isn't going to be a 30-yard pass out of bounds this week. It's going to be Josh Allen up the gut.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to stop it. And then you're going to have to convert on the other side. You're going to have to come out and punch him in the mouth. Because I don't think, we talked a little bit about their team and their roster today and yesterday, but I don't think if you come out and punch them in the mouth, I don't know if they have the talent and skill to be able to come back.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. If you get up 14-0 in this
that's
game.
What I'm, yep.
It may be over for Buffalo. Again, it's not, and we can't sit there and say, oh, this thing is over because people score quickly in this league, but they don't score quickly on this Chiefs defense. And when they do score on this Chiefs defense, it's a 9-minute and 57-second drive that results in a field goal. You know, like, we've got to continue to give this team credit on the defensive side of the ball. I feel like, and me included, we're all still a little bit kind of squeamish when it comes to the defense. For whatever reason, we don't want to go up. Like, we're at 98 with this defense. For whatever reason, we just don't want to go to 100 right now. There's still a little, but maybe Mike Pinnell coming back secures that middle of the field and secures that run defense against Josh Allen and James Cook this week. We may look back at this game and go, thank God we signed Mike Pinnell, because that guy was in the middle of everything, from stuffing the run to stuffing the quarterback to doing everything in the middle of that defensive line. I hope we are. I hope we're in here on Monday morning when, you know, Max in Spain and we're going, man, let me tell you about Mike Pinnell.
Two things. One, to your defensive theory, I think that's what you get from people when it's a bend don't break philosophy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, you know, you can build a bridge and know that it holds however many tons. But no matter what, when a couple of trucks go by, you're like, all right. Hey, I thought you said this is good. 10,000 tons should be all right. Yeah, but it's about 8,500 right now. But it still should be good.
Mm-hmm.
So you're always squeamish when it comes to that because, again, Washington averaged 5 yards a gain on the first half against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Now, again, second half, that was gone. That was Marcus Mariota. That was Washington. That wasn't the Bills, who have seen you every year, sometimes twice, for the last decade. The other thing, too, to go to your point about getting out to an early lead. You got to do that, but you can't let it be Jacksonville.
Right. Like 100%.
You can't let that, because as much as Jacksonville is Jacksonville and they beat you, again, that's Trevor Lawrence. This is Josh Allen.
Right.
The other thing I will tack on to that theory that Mac had about getting out to an early lead, this is what I've said, because the two losses Buffalo had, for some reason, the Atlanta game, that didn't look like Josh Allen when they were down. Like when Bijan Robbins had 170 and two touchdowns and they were out and Josh Allen was back there, two interceptions in that game.
Mm-hmm.
He did not look like Josh Allen, like the guy that can be at times the stone cold killer, which we have seen in the past, that when the lights do get a little bit brighter, Josh Allen's attributes kind of go down a few points. That can't happen for them. And I do think that if the Chiefs go out there and score on their first two possessions, whether it's 14, whether it's 10, I don't think they will kick two field goals, but I think that they go out there and let's just say in a calm stance, they're up 10-0 with 8 minutes left in the first quarter. That'd be awesome.
Oh my God, that'd be quick.
So let's say it's the start of the second quarter, Buffalo's getting the ball and it's 10-0. Josh Allen and their stance of what they want to do, they have to stay with it. And I don't think that they will because we've seen this in the past.
No team stays with it.
Teams that get in this sort of adversity moment, they go awry. They do their own thing. They get off script. And then all of a sudden it's like, where's James Cook been? It's like, well, we're down by 10. Okay. Well, we can't stop them on offense. So we have to kind of, you know, live up to that expectation. And the game against New England that they lost and the game against Atlanta that they lost, Josh Allen was not that guy. And he wasn't the guy that we saw week one against Baltimore where they were down 25-40. Like, I just wasn't, that was a, I haven't seen that Josh Allen the rest of the season. And I think the Chiefs, being what they are against Buffalo, also having an offense that we've never seen under the helm of Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and these guys, and plus knowing that your defense now, you bring up Mike Pinnell, now your defense, a 10-0 lead, Spags can get a little innovative and be like, hey, let's disguise this. Let's mix this up. We've already got Allen on his rocker here a little bit. Let's throw him a curveball. And then if they do turn the ball over, you're up 10-0. Guys, I don't want to sound cocky or arrogant, but that offense, if it's rolling like that early, and they have that sort of confidence and swagger in this game, that is a very dangerous thing to see if you're a Buffalo Bills fan.
Well, and talk also, to you later.
If you're Buffalo, you know, you don't let the Chiefs get out there and assert themselves defensively in the bend but don't break. You try to score right away if you're Buffalo. You don't let the defense kind of settle in and see what you're going to do. You know, teams that do that are playing into the hands of Steve Spagnuolo. If you're Buffalo, you're going up over the top and you're trying to score on the first play. That way you still have 14 more of those scripted plays, because we have now seen around this league, unless you're Patrick Mahomes and maybe it, to an extent, Josh Allen, once these teams get off their 15 scripted plays, they're all stiffs back there playing the quarterback position. And so if you get Buffalo out of that script early, it's going to change things up a little bit, right? It's going to make things a little bit more difficult. But if you're Buffalo, you're thinking to yourself, why are we going to audition for these guys? Every team gives the Chiefs defense, basically that first drive, a dress rehearsal of what they're going to do. They use all their good plays. They waste all of those scripted plays and they march all the way down the field and they come away with a field goal. If you're Buffalo at this point in time, why are you going to let this defense dictate to you? You need to go out there and you need to try to score right away. You need to do things differently than everybody else does. A methodical keep Patrick Mahomes off the field drive to me is what I want from Buffalo to start this game. I want them to empty the playbook on the first drive. I want them to utilize everything. I'd love them to go on a 15-play drive to start this game, because that means when they get the ball the next time, all those 15 plays that they scripted are done, and now we're just going off the cuff, and now we're just going by feel, and now we're just kind of, I don't want to use the term guessing, but as the offensive coordinator, you really don't have a plan after those first 15, and the game kind of just dictates it. So if you're Buffalo, you want to try to score fast against the Chiefs and not play into their hands of allowing the defense just to get a great look at you for the first 9 minutes of the game.
The Buffalo Bills have traded the 28th pick to the Kansas City Chiefs. With the 28th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the back-to-back Super Bowl champions, Kansas City Chiefs, select Xavier Worthy.
There it is. And it's only fitting.
What do you guys think? Xavier Worthy, first year, yeah. First receiver to go for 100 yards in a game this week? Going against Buffalo, they're going to regret that pick. Because the Chiefs got Xavier Worthy in trading with Buffalo, and Buffalo would then later on draft Keon Coleman.
Yeah, who's on the outs, I guess, out in Buffalo, at least with Steve Smith Jr., who just ripped him yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just destroyed him yesterday. And, I mean, I don't know if it's rightfully so or not. I don't follow Keon Coleman enough or to care. But I just thought, like, wow, Steve Smith coming off the top rope on Keon Coleman, and we're getting ready to play him. Is this one of those guys you punch under the face mask and he goes away for the rest of the game? Because if that's the case, man, blow that guy up right at the line of scrimmage on the first play and you can eliminate him. But, I mean, I don't know that I've ever heard an athlete just come full fire.
In a nutshell, he said basically he's soft off the line, doesn't get any, like, sort of push, doesn't run like Chris.
Yeah, doesn't get separation. He's like, you can't teach a pup how to bark, pretty much. You either got it or you don't. He's not a dog.
Yeah. He says like this, he just doesn't get open fast enough. Now, Josh Allen looks his way when it's press coverage. Josh will look his way, but he doesn't throw it because he doesn't have the confidence that he's going to get open. And so he looks his way and then he sees he's not open. He's got to move down the line, and he doesn't have comp. There was a throw in a game last night. I think it was Lamar that threw this pass to their, I don't know who it was, right? And the announcers on the game, Herb Street, goes, that ball was thrown before that guy even turned around. Lamar knew he was going to be there, knew he was going to be turned around, and had that confidence in that guy. We see it with Kelsey all the time. Obviously, Josh Allen doesn't have that with Keon Coleman, and so Keon Coleman may be open, but he's getting open way too late in the scheme of the offense, and so you can jam that dude at the line of scrimmage and go out there and just mess with him all afternoon and get him to go back into his shell. That would be a lot of fun. I'd like to see him kind of melt down on the field on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, no doubt. It with the other guy you stole from Buffalo and Trent McDuffie.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah.
Suck it.
He says he doesn't have the ability to be the number one. He ain't the guy. Can't get separation, can't get off the jam. Doesn't have it. Can't teach a new dog how to bark. You either got it or you don't. I mean, those are harsh words, man. Now, I hope those words don't fire up Keon Coleman.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Let's
hope
they
hell did to Jerry Jeudy back in the day.
True, he had like one good game. Yeah.
Right after Steve Smith called him out, Jerry Jeudy did have a nice game.
You just a jag, dog. You just a guy, man.
Yeah.
We go back to when we said the Chiefs could beat the Broncos and the Colts. From the 660, take the afternoon off. Have yourself a hell of a Halloween. After Pat beats the Broncos and the Colts, we can call him the Horse Whisperer.
Oh, I like that. That's good. Real good.
I am the Horse Whisperer. Coming up on the other side, Bob thinks that Brett Veach's best draft pick is, well, he'll tell you who it is of all time. A 96.5 The Fan, your home, maybe. Or Mac will.
I will.
Mac will. Okay. On the other side, 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Creed Humphrey, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Happy Halloween, Kansas City. Welcome to 96.5 The Fan. Zero trouble, zero bubbles. I'm getting these guys drunk off vibes. How you doing?
Is Halloween a worldwide holiday, or is it an American
Mexico,
holiday?
I think it's the Day of the Dead.
Yes, and they do it usually tomorrow. They do Dia de los Muertos down in Mexico.
Oh, muy bien.
Yeah, you too. And so that's usually on
that
November. Yeah, you said very good. I said, and you
and
too.
You.
And you, yeah.
I thought you too was, oh yeah, you too.
And you, yeah.
YouTube. Shut up, Dusty. You way to ruin it. YouTube.
Yeah. But I don't know, like, is it? Yeah. Well, that's your problem.
Well,
if you're still
on
YouTube. Yeah, we are. You can watch us. But if you got that YouTube TV and you're complaining about ESPN, I can only lead you so far. I can only take you to the cusp. I can only get you there. I can only lead you to water. I can't make you drink it.
Yep,
I don't want to hear about your YouTube issues. I don't care.
Man. No Disney products, man. Gone.
Rob and CDOT, they're up in arms about
That's
it.
That's their problem.
You think CDOT's using Rob's login?
Yeah, of course. You think CDOT's got a log into anything?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
At Vegas Hotel, he's at six times a year.
That, I was going to say, other than the gambling apps, right?
There's the Sphere. There's the Luxor. There's residency of one CDOT Harrison.
Yep. Exactly.
All Saints Day tomorrow. The same, right?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, it's the Day of the Dead in Mexico.
Tomorrow is when you get your ass up at like 8 a.m. and go to Target and get all the leftover Halloween candy for half price.
Also, is today the day, like, if your neighbor should be like going to Florida for the winter, is this the day you TP his house? I got a friend whose neighbor he doesn't like, and he's going away for the winter. I'm like, oh, today's the day to TP that guy's house, right?
No, that's when you put a care package that you know is going to like soil away, but you did your job.
Yeah.
You don't want to TP somebody's house, man.
Especially someone that you don't like, because then it gets carried away.
If you don't like him, you shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Should they put like Limburger cheese in his vents while he's gone?
Yeah, give him cheese blanket.
Oh, man, that Limburger cheese is that. Have you ever done that with somebody? We used to do that kind of crap in college all the time. Put it on somebody's tailpipe and it melts and then the smell goes in.
We used to
hide it in vents in our fraternity house in people's rooms. Like, ah, oh, you got me. You know?
Dude, I told you, my buddy Tolson, man, somebody messed with his car one time and then nobody messed with his car again. They drew like, you know, wangs all over the windows, and he legitimately, I am not kidding you, this is a true story. For anybody that knows me, that knows my story in the background of Tolson, you know this is true. Zach, I know you're listening. He literally went and found roadkill, scooped it up with a shovel, opened the guy's trunk.
So he knew who did it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
He didn't sleep till he found out this guy was lethal. Found roadkill, fresh roadkill, and put it underneath the little carpet where your spare tire is and the backseat of the guy's car. Guy didn't know it was there for about a week. All of a sudden, he's driving around. What's that smell? Couldn't find it. Opened the trunk. Found it. Maggots crawling.
Oh.
You know what? Nobody ever messed with that guy's car again. Dude, it was terrible.
Oh, yeah, that is gross, man. Like, stomach ache just thinking about that.
I mean, just
visual.
Imagine, like, where's that smell? There it is. Lift it up.
Was it like
that?
That
was maggots, the sound of it.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's why I went, Oh, yeah, dude. It's like roadkill. Like, is it a raccoon? Is it a squirrel?
Does it
matter? Is it a head of a deer? Yes, it really does. If it's a squirrel, you're like, okay, if it's a raccoon, like, if you, and that thing's looking at you and it's got its teeth, it's like,
something tells me it was a possum.
Okay. That's even worse.
Yeah, that's
nasty.
You didn't
mess
with this guy. I can promise you that.
Yeah.
I can promise you that.
Well, I mean, that's like, that's the line. Like, don't mess with somebody's cars, right? Like, we're dealing with this now. We had egg on one
that's
a couple
messed
of days
up,
ago.
Yeah. Eggs are dangerous.
Eggs are dangerous.
They chip
paint. Oh yeah, yeah. You know, I don't know. We're on the hunt now. We'll figure out.
Because one of my
that.
Buddies one time got his car tagged with Oreos. They like undid the Oreos and stuck it around the car and then saran wrapped
it.
Well, I hate to tell you, there's grease in that fake frosting,
right?
And little circles around his car. It's terrible, dude. Like, don't do this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, you can draw the car chalk. Totally fine.
Totally fine.
You suck. Or
right.
Like,
yeah, there are fun ways to do this.
Absolutely, there are fun ways
you
to do it.
You could do, like, the Crisco oil on the door handle or peanut butter
right.
or mayonnaise.
Yeah, we
and then
do that.
Saran,
yeah,
and
yeah,
like,
yeah,
oh!
Yeah, yeah.
Because that texture is worse than seeing, like, you know, whatever. Because the car chalk, you just go to, you know, car wash, dollar and quarter, spray
it
off real
spray
quick,
it off,
on
you're fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's when you start, like, soda on a car and that kind of stuff. Stop doing that. Motor oil. All that kind of stuff. So stop messing with cars the wrong way.
Yes. We had a guy at our fire department that wouldn't help wash the cars.
Yeah, the cars.
We wiped fish oil on his pillow and hid dough piss wafers in his ceiling.
I like that. No, I'm look. If
that's above and beyond.
But, you know, we used to do that kind of stuff to dudes in the fraternity house. If you were alone and didn't do your work and didn't do what you were supposed to do, you got hazed. Yep. I mean, it's part of the
now
deal.
Now it's a balanced man system.
Yeah. Well, no. Now it's a you better do your job or you're gonna get hazed. I mean, I still think that's the right way, especially in a place like the fire department. Everybody's busting their ass down there, and you're not gonna do your job. Screw you, pal.
We one time had a guy pass out with his shoes on, and we put a piece of stink bait on his, like, mustache.
You ever
smelled that stuff?
Oh, yes.
All right. Speaking of draft bait, Mac, you think Rashee Rice will go down as Brett Veach's best draft pick of all time?
I do. I think it'll go down as his best pick ever, and it's why Rashee is so good that I think it'll be Brett Veach's best draft pick of all time, because Rice
better than Derek Thomas?
Rice isn't the best athlete. He's not incredibly fast. He's not huge. He's not this DK Metcalf guy whose RAS score is just a 10 out of 10, right? Like, you're not going to get it on paper with Rashee Rice.
Good comp, though, because I can see the same similar body type as DK Metcalf.
A little
Metcalf,
bit, but
yeah.
He doesn't have an 8-pack. He's not running.
Not
like
yet.
Sure. He's not 6'4". He's not all these things. He's not even the best 4-3. Route runner. Yeah, exactly. He doesn't have any of these eye-popping numbers. But his ability to sit in a zone and then immediately move forward has worked so well with Mahomes. And the reason that I think it's Veach's best draft pick is because of that and because he watched Mahomes and Kelsey work so well together and said, okay, how can I duplicate that connection? I think it's like kind of like in Moneyball when Brad Pitt's looking at this guy. He's like, no, you're trying to replace the Damons. You're trying to replace the Giambis. It's never going to happen. We can get on base, though.
Yeah.
You're never going to replace Travis Kelce. We will never see number 87 or a guy in his atmosphere maybe again for the rest of our lives.
They said they'd never see another Tony Gonzalez.
They did. Right? They saw Travis Kelce.
Yeah. We got lucky. So that can't be duplicated, though, right?
Yeah, you're right. And if you're trying to duplicate that, you're chasing fool's gold,
and
right?
So he watched that connection and said, okay, what is it about Kelce and Mahomes that I can connect, that I can duplicate with that connection? And I think Rashee Rice's ability to sit in the zone, move forward, and just that overall chemistry. And then add on that Rashee has been better than I think a lot of people thought in his draft comp. He's been better than that. So he compliments the most important player in franchise history. So I think it's Brett Veach's best draft pick ever.
And I'll take it one step further for you to kind of add on to that. I'm not ready to say it's his best ever, but I'm close because I was told he will be their best wide receiver of all time, right? We've been telling you that for a couple of years now, that that's what they believe. He could be the best Chiefs wide receiver of all time. He's on that way. But he's more than a wide receiver. He's a position that doesn't exist right now in the NFL. And we can call that the Rice position, whatever we want to call it.
Yeah.
That guy is, and hybrid isn't even the right term to word, because I think that has a negative connotation at times.
but he is a running back and he is a wide receiver. My favorite plays to him now are turning to your left, firing it to him at the line of scrimmage, a simple lateral, and then letting him run. Because what does he do best? He runs with the ball in his hands better than any wide receiver that we've had or maybe have ever seen, you know, on this field in Kansas City. So what do you want to do? Get him the ball as soon as you can. That was a brilliant play call by Andy Reid the other day. And I love that kind of extension of the run game. I love that utilization of Rashee Rice. I think it's awesome to see how many different places he can catch the ball on the field and do some great things. And I love the fact that Andy Reid is like, this guy runs great with the football. Get it to him as fast as he can and let him do what he does best. And they've got themselves a talent out there that I don't know that that type of player truly exists much else in the NFL. He's a wild card, man.
You can watch all that action if you tune in this Sunday as the Chiefs take on the Bills right here on 96.5 The Fan. And big thanks to our friends over at Yuengling. Appreciate them for their support to the Salute to Service Games. Yuengling, a true American lager, saluting those who have served our great country. Text line, I'm talking.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To you, Bob Mack, I'm talking to you on the other side. I want to hear what you have to say about it. 913-586-7965. Let's talk a little Buffalo Bills, Kansas City Chiefs, and why I think we're less worried here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. I know that I'm hard.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is Chris Jones, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.